You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 10 November. We've got Vodacom results in a little over half an hour. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nkunzi Sanlam Private Wealth, the Fashini Group results. That was the trading update that spooked the market. Now we have the numbers. And then the JSE is going through a process, consultation process, wanting to reduce number of cents announcements and maybe remove HEPS requirements. His thoughts on that. Vishal Rama from Prescient Investment Management, a debt trajectory as we head up to the medium-term budget policy statement on Wednesday. And then we're talking to Sanlam Investments on their $4 billion property impact fund. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, Bloomberg. Senate advances plans to end shutdown after 8 Democrats vote with the Republicans. And Business Day, JC heads for showdown with Competition Commission over allegations of antitrust behavior. Morning markets, the US was mixed. The S&P was up 0.1%. The NASDAQ was down 0.3%. East is all green. Sydney up 0.5%. Turkey up 1%. Hong Kong up 0.5%. And Tencent 1.6% higher. Commodities green, gold futures 4,064, Brent 6,409, platinum 1,580, palladium 1,422. The rand is 1,729, bitcoin's 105,900, and top 40 opening call, giant open at 1,235 points, or 1.22% higher.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Nkunzi Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate early morning Fashini Group. This was the sense announcement a couple of weeks ago that really spooked. Sales on the surface up 12.7%, but of course only 3.5% if we exclude White Stuff with the new acquisition. How much is this, in your sense, a Fashini issue as opposed to a general consumer under pressure? And lots being blamed on sports betting, and I don't know how legit that is, but your thoughts on where they're sitting.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Difficult one to digest, really. I mean, it's I don't think too, the rest of the sort of apparel sort of reporting that's been in the South African space has been a little bit muted as well, you know, and I do think a little portion of it is probably, you know, operating in an economy that's not growing. Either that or you know, they're saving all their money to spend on used cars and not clothing. We've seen the results coming out there. I mean, yeah. I jest, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the problem is that they do have quite a bit of debt. And they are sort of highly sort of a valued business as well. And, and when you trade on multiples of that high and you come in with a 21% slide in HEPS, you know, the market is going to sort of, you know, question you accordingly. So, yeah, I think a little bit of a higher valuation just probably needs to re-rate a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, but I take your point, and it was a massive move down in HEPS, no doubts around that. I want to pick your brain. The JSE, and these, to be clear, are proposals. These aren't, you know, they're consulting and chatting with folks, I imagine, such as yourself, wanting to reduce the number of cents issues that come out, potentially also remove the requirement for HEPS disclosure. Your thoughts on the two?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm in the camp that less red tape is good, less regulation is good, and freeing up capital, which it sounds like they want to do. They're saying it's an expensive exercise, and we know being a listed entity on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange is an expensive exercise, especially for smaller businesses. But on the other side, Simon, you know, I think more disclosure, more transparency, more information I can get to analyze a company, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, SENS, I'm not sure. I mean, I rely on it. Every SENS thing that comes across my sort of Bloomberg terminal, I click on straight away for regards to the JSE. And secondly, you know, the idea of HEPS, yeah, it's not – I guess it's maybe South Africa, you know, they give it more of a name. It's not an unusual reporting item. Mm, I mean, offshore they call it adjusted earnings, just for take. And I think it's quite a good thing. It's quite unique for South Africa that they're forced to disclose it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It does give you a clearer indication of, you know, the curious of business operations as opposed to a couple of ones off. So I'd certainly be less enthusiastic to see us get rid of HEPS. I don't know if that was a diplomatic answer or not. I'm for more disclosure, let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I take your point 100%. Quick last question. Reports overnight that it looks like the American might get their federal government reopened. I mean, in essence, I mean, I don't know that there has been much of an impact on markets. I mean, certainly there's been an impact on individuals and certain sectors of the economy, but I'm not sure that markets necessarily, or maybe I suppose it's a sentiment more than anything.
Yeah, look, at some point they have to open again. It is a sentiment issue. And again, you talk about more sort of transparency. I mean, you know, we didn't get non-farm jobless numbers on Friday, the biggest number of the month, because the U.S. has been shut. So they've got to get it open again. And also a story over the weekend breaking about, you know, cancelling airlines before Thanksgiving and a few things. So it's certainly starting to have a bit of an impact on the economy, maybe not necessarily markets. But yeah, it is good news. They need to get that back open. I mean, the problem with Mr. Trump's administration is they could flip-flop from 1 second to next. But right now, it sounds like there's a group of sort of Democratic senators that have joined with Republicans late last night to try to get some sort of deal. So that's a positive. So fingers crossed they do get that economy back open.
I agreed with that. Get it open, get it going again, and let's hope it can stay open. We'll leave it there. Nkunsa Sanlam, Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning. Our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter, is about those HEPS disclosure rules. JC has them under review. Your thoughts? Good idea to remove it? Bad idea? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Vishal Rama, quantitative analyst at Prescient Investment Management. Vishal, appreciate the early morning Wednesday medium-term budget policy statement a little bit later this year. Some of the key things we're looking for, and I suspect perhaps the big one, as always, is our debt trajectory and the outlook for fiscal consolidation. Your thoughts on what the minister could be telling us around our debt story? He is potentially getting more tax revenue thanks to precious metal prices.
Morning, Simon. Morning, listeners. So, as you mentioned, right, so debt levels remain high within the country, and, you know, the gross debt expected to edge ever so slightly higher to around 78% of GDP over the medium term.
Mm-hmm.
The small increase is due to nominal growth and higher state guarantees, but is partly offset by, as you mentioned, better revenue collection and lower funding costs. I think Treasury remains, from what we can see, Treasury remains committed to fiscal consolidation through spending restraints and efficiency measures. I think stabilizing debt by the government will depend more on sort of controlling expenditure and improving growth rather than raising new taxes. So, yeah, we will see that, I think, hopefully in the MTBPS come Wednesday.
And the key thing, and you mentioned growth there, I mean, that is the big issue. We've had, what, a decade and a half of no growth, 1%. I mean, that's below population growth. The need for structural reform to get that growth going. Spending on the one side, or reduced spending on the one side, but structural reform really is the big story here.
100%, right? So fiscal consolidation alone will not get our country forward. South Africa needs growth, right? I think we need to see key reforms in power, logistics, water, and visa policy are essential to unlock new private investments.
Mm-hmm.
I think Operation Vulindlela, you know, there is progress on that there, but it's slow and will sort of take time for that to actually come through and show through from a, you know, country, South Africa developing. I think we need higher potential growth, and that'll come through job creation, expanding the tax base, and reducing the debt burden on the country over time, right? So we need to have those in order, as you rightly say, for South Africa to move forward. So fiscal consolidation alone will not get us forward. You know, we need growth within South Africa, and hopefully we can see that come Wednesday. And going forward from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the sort of infrastructure play. We're seeing Vulindela, we're seeing some green shoots there. We got off the grey list. We've got G20, so we're in the global spotlight in 2 weeks' time. My sense is it's kind of moving in the right direction, but it's happening slowly. And I suppose not just in the government, I suppose it's hard to turn it around, but it is a very, very slow process.
100% right. So, I mean, as you rightly mentioned, it is a slow process to us to get forward. I think the signs are positive and the momentum appears to be in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think, we moved from the grey listing, which I think will encourage foreign investors to sort of come and look more in South Africa. So, the grey listing obviously hindered the way in which investors saw South Africa and even sort of try to come and invest cash into South Africa. Now that's sort of been taken off the line, so that does help us. I think we need to see, as you already mentioned, there is ongoing communications with G20 and multilateral channels, which all boost credibility of the South African market. I think, we need to sustain this positive momentum, and that all depends on consistent policy, transparent fiscal management and reform delivery, right? So if we can see that, I think we'll see more from offshore investors coming into our markets.
A last question around our bond market. Our bonds have had a good year. I mean, it's to be clear, a year ago or so, I mean, they were offering sort of equity-like returns, although obviously at a much lower risk. They're still seemingly attractive for investors, but it has been a good year for bonds in terms of the yield, and that, all things equal, probably continues. I mean, the minister's unlikely to totally mess it up. We're probably going to see that going through the rest of the year.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been an absolutely fantastic year for bonds. We came from levels of around 11% now to sub 10% on bonds. Mm-hmm. I think the bond market will sort of remain sensitive to the fiscal credibility and borrowing plans of the National Treasury. I think the move lower towards 3% inflation target, as discussed by the MPC at the last meeting, and hopefully we can see that sort of not announced on Wednesday, but mm-hmm. maybe some sort of discussion towards that, and then maybe come actual budget in next year, we can see formal recognition of moving to that target. But as mentioned, that lower target is being stronger revenue and us being added to the global indices have all meant that South Africa's bonds have done quite well over the last year. I think as long as we don't see any sort of own goals or any surprises from National Treasury come Wednesday, mm-hmm. I think bonds will not sell off. And, if there is anything like fiscal slippage or high issuance announced, we could see a sell off of bonds. But as you rightly mentioned, I think we're probably not going to see too much, hopefully, touch wood, right? It'll be good on.
and I take your point. I mean, a 1% move in the bond market is absolutely giant. It's been a phenomenal year for bonds. We'll leave it there. That's for sure. Rama, quantitative analyst, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the early morning. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio sub-managed by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Kamogelo Lou, portfolio manager at Sanlam Investments. Kamogelo, appreciate the time. Sanlam Investments just launched a 4 billion rand property impact fund. Talks around bridging South Africa's infrastructure gap. Let's start some big picture and get a sense of sort of where you're going to be focusing this fund. Which sort of bits of infrastructure?
Hi, Simon. So in terms of the Sanlam Property Impact Fund, we essentially are equity providers for social infrastructure. That's the predominant sector in which we invest in. Mm-hmm. And the type of asset classes that we target include affordable housing, healthcare and educational facilities, as well as student accommodation and rural retail centers. So predominantly the areas and localities that we target are township and rural areas.
In many senses, you talk around this in the launch, this is really sort of focusing on a missing middle in South Africa and a part of the economy, which is often the banks aren't there, the government isn't there, and it's a large portion of our population.
Yes, Simon. So our fund specifically targets the missing middle in terms of asset provision in the sectors that we invest in. And when we speak about the missing middle, we're referring to around 23 to 30% of South African households. Wow. And the missing middle is made up of essentially all civil servants, such as our nurses, our police officers, our builders, even, you know, our young professionals as well, and young families in many respects.
And what also is important, and this is the case these days, but you know, a lot of folks think an impact fund might be sort of a not a profitable enterprise, but actually it is. I mean, it is designed to deliver a competitive returns whilst still advancing inclusive economic growth and social equality. In a way, we're getting our cake and eating it. This is very possible.
Yes, it's very much possible. And when we look at returns, the type of returns that we're targeting are around 50 to 18% in all the sectors that we're involved in. Mm-hmm. And this is predominantly due to the underserviced but yet growing markets in terms of demand for the missing middle. And we just need to factor in that the missing middle speaks to around 60% of our tax base. So it's very much a scalable sector due to, you know, the diversified income streams that we can get through our fund, given that we're involved in five property subsectors.
And one of the key things here, and this is what the impact part is, I mean, obviously Sunlam Investments is coming with the fund that will create return, but it creates that return down the line in terms of GDP growth, in terms of improved lives for the individuals. There is that second order effect as well, which can be meaningful.
Definitely. So our fund pretty much is also aligned to the national development plans of the government. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, it's also aligned to the sustainable development goals, which is preset by the United Nations. And some of the impact metrics that our fund seeks to target include good health and well-being, the provision of quality education, decent work and economic growth in the communities that we invest in, as well as, you know, reducing inequalities, given that we operate in peri-urban and township as well as rural areas. Mm-hmm. And then the other sustainable development goal that we look at attaining includes sustainable cities and communities, where we try create inclusive markets that are susceptible to growth through inclusivity of community members and also businesses as well.
And an important point, and this is the part that fascinates me because I'm a bit of a data nerd. My listeners all know that. Very much a data-driven sort of approach in terms of identifying communities where these investments can have some of the greatest impact. You're doing it with some hard data up front.
Precisely, yes. So we're pretty much a data-driven entity, mm-hmm. and we use the latest technologies that help us accumulate such data. And just perhaps to give you an idea of how we target the areas and localities we invest in, we look at geospatial mapping through systems such as, you know, geographic information system platforms offered by the likes of Google Earth and so forth. And the type of data that we obtain includes, you know, density and service gaps from a nodal point of view, as well as overlaying of transportation routes, because, you know, transportation is pretty much key to the infrastructure that we invest in as well. But further afield, there's plenty of data that we also try incorporate when we do our research as well as our investment planning. And some of the data points we look at include MSCI SA property data, mm-hmm. which gives us impact metrics so that we can target the communities that are largely in need. And then other data we obtain from, you know, Stats SA, as well as other institutions that are akin to the sectors that you operate in as well.
Yeah, it's great because for the impact, it needs to be right places. And I like the fact that it is data driven because that gives you a much better chance of having significant impacts, which is what the whole purpose is. We leave it there. That's Kamakhelalu, Portfolio Manager at Sunlam Investments on their 4 billion rand property impact fund. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting on Friday around fears of a market correction. We had Michael Burry's short, Palantir and Nvidia. I mean, Palantir, what's that? I think price to sales, not price to earnings, price to sales is around 80. Not the craziest short I've ever seen. We asked you if you were worried about a market sell-off. Just over 40% said no, you're in it for the long term. These sort of things happen. A third said maybe you're watching. The rest said it is already here and you are definitely worried. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Beef opportunities into Asia.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.